Hey friends, I'm Naomi and glad to have you here listening to A Creative Purpose. This space is here to encourage and support creatives leave their soul-sucking jobs so they can earn a living doing what they love and live an adventurous life. I have some great conversations with other creatives where they share their journey and how they got to where they are today and the lessons learned along the way. I'll also share my story and what I've learned and am learning on this beautiful, sometimes difficult road to living a life I love. Thank you for joining us again. Today I have Michelle. She is a children's author and book coach. And so we're just going to have a conversation about what it's like in that arena and her journey that she's been on to get here. So Michelle, can you introduce yourself and tell us more about what you do?
Sure. I have been writing books for children for, more than 20 years, but I haven't published any yet. So I'm an example of persistence. I'm also new to book coaching, and that is really informing my own writing. So it's been valuable from that perspective.
That's awesome. So going back, so you said like 15 years, what has that journey been like to this point?
Well, I can probably use a really specific example because I was just writing about it yesterday. So just recently, I signed with a literary agent for the very first time. Thank you. And she signed me based on a middle grade novel that I actually started in probably 2010 or 2011. And it's about a dog who had recently died. He's already dead at the start of the novel. So basically it starts in dog heaven, the canine afterlife. But I knew there was something wrong with the beginning. I couldn't figure it out. And I, even though I thought it was good enough, I started querying it in 2012. So 10 years ago, and just couldn't get any traction. I got a few requests for the full manuscript, which is how agents operate with writers. But then they weren't interested. Polite declines. So I kept revising, but still I knew there was something not quite right. I couldn't figure it out by myself. Eventually I just set it aside and worked on something else. In November of 2019, I attended an alumni mini residency for fellow MFA alumni from the Vermont College of Fine Arts, where we all have degrees in writing for children and young adults. And it's kind of like a mini writing conference. So it's super fun with these people who are quite accomplished. Most of them have, published, been successful. And I was in a workshop there and got really useful, encouraging feedback about this novel that had been in a drawer for a couple of years. So I knew there was something there because, the kids and adults for that matter, we have these deep relationships with our pets. And what happens after that, when those pets inevitably die? But I couldn't get past that block of finding somebody who also believed in that novel as much as I did. That little bit of encouragement helped me to revise again. And then I went through almost another 2 years of querying, but still no responses. And then I attended last fall another alumni mini residency at Vermont College. This time it was virtual. And as soon as the program was announced, I snapped up a critique I didn't care if it was an agent or an editor, either one was fine with me. But the person I got was so helpful because she said, "I don't think this novel is starting in the right place. What if you start where he's already in the canine afterlife, having a really great time, so that kids who read this can see that, their pet is in a good place." I thought, that's it. Boom. So I was able to revise over the course of the next 3 months or so, started querying again. And this time, I won't go into the details. They're not important. Finally found somebody who believed in it like I did. And that part of it happened quite fast. So it has not been easy. Believing in myself has been probably the most important part. And I know that is hard. That is hard. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing to, have the story in your heart and then just getting different eyes on it. And finally one connects, that sees it in a new light. And so that's what I think is awesome about sharing your work with other people is, especially I think as artists, sometimes it's scary to put your work out there because you're like, what are people going to think? How are they going to react? And you have to take the criticism then too, when they do share something. But it sounds like you found a good person that just sparked that new idea into your head and it just clicked. So are you part of writing circles then, like on a weekly or monthly basis to get other eyes on your books, or how does that work in your writing?
I used to be. I currently live in northern Wisconsin, but when I used to live in Iowa, I had a regular children's critique group when we all shared, novels or picture books or nonfiction with each other, but I haven't been in quite some time. So that part is also challenging. One way I've helped myself is by becoming a book coach last year. So I learned some sort of different ways of thinking about writing, ways that I hadn't necessarily come across before, even though I've been studying writing for decades, it feels like. And so applying those to my own work, that was really useful. But there really is no shortcut for getting somebody else's sort of objective feedback. Mm-hmm. So the person who gave me the feedback was an agent last fall. She wasn't interested in representing that novel herself, but at that point I didn't care because I knew she had identified the problem for me and I could take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. That's so exciting. And I'm glad that, you're seeing all the, now the fruit of all your years of labor is gonna, be moved on to that next step. So what goes on from this point? You have a literary agent, and then what happens next?
So there's no guarantee, of course, that she'll be able to sell this novel, but that's the dream. She has read it and is now reading it again more carefully and taking notes on it, because it's pretty rare for a writer to turn in a novel that is ready immediately to submit to editors. So she doesn't think it needs major revisions. She thinks it just needs a polish. That was her word, a polish. And so I think it's small things she's going to have me look at and tweak, which is totally fine. I revised this thing so many times. I have no qualms about making any other small things. If that's going to help it find a publishing house and then ultimately find its way to readers. So after she sends that back to me with her notes, I will make revisions, give it back to her, and then she's going to send it out to editors at different publishing houses.
Okay, nice. That's awesome. Yeah, because I'm really curious, did you ever think on your journey that you would self-publish anything, or how, because I know that's popular now. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on that kind of process.
I have never been interested in self-publishing. Probably because I just want the validation of a traditional publisher. Mm-hmm. And because I have a sense of how difficult it is for self-publishers to market their work on their own. It becomes basically a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And while I certainly want to help market my work, I don't want it to be all-consuming like that. And I really want a professional's advice on all that stuff, designing the cover and choosing a cover artist. And everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No, I did not. There are plenty of people who do, and there are more ways to do that, but mm-hmm. that's not something I wanted to do ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It is like all those little details that it's like, wow, a lot goes into this, and it yes. is, yeah, you want people that are good at their craft, like the editors and stuff, to take a look at it to make it the best thing it can be. So that's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you mentioned becoming a book coach. What kind of led you to taking that step?
I had been working at a private college for several years as a writer, editor, and colleges have, you know, like any school, they have a regular cycle. And I was just getting a little, you know, tired of the same old coming around every year, and was looking for something different to do. But I didn't want to be a freelance writer. That just doesn't really have any appeal for me. If I'm going to write, I want to write my own stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm really good, because I've also been a teacher of writing, I'm really good at giving people actionable feedback to help them improve their writing, whether it's, you know, some short nonfiction piece, a web story, whatever. But I thought, this might be the way to go. I had read about book coaching for a few years. And so I just finally signed up. And it's a self-paced course that I took through Author Accelerator. It was quite fun. I was able to apply it to my own work while I was working through the course. And I also worked with 3 practice clients, which was part of the course. And I worked with 3 different children's writers, people who were also Vermont College graduates. So I figured it wouldn't be that hard to find clients, because I really want to work with experienced children's writers, people who have been writing for a while, but maybe are feeling stuck, because plot is something, and structure, those are things that I'm especially good at working on. So those are the kinds of things that I like to help people with. And then after the pandemic last summer was sort of winding down and people were returning to the office, my college president, she just decided she wasn't going to let people work remotely anymore. And I live 400 miles away from that college. So as of last fall, I stopped working for them, and then had to start picking up the book coaching business faster and sooner than I had planned to, but it's fine. It's worked out well.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds good. So looking back at your journey, you said a lot of perseverance and persistence. What kept you going? Was it the love of the art? Was it knowing, like, what did that look like for you on a maybe not daily basis, but just like week after week, month after month, year after year? What kept you going?
I have told people if I could stop writing, I would. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it is so hard. It's not that I love writing, because first drafts, I think, are kind of a nightmare. They're so hard. But I really like revising. That's a lot of fun. But I also have a lot of different stories that I want to tell. I feel compelled to. So even if I set something aside, something else is going to bubble up. And I just have to try that one and work on that one. So yeah, I guess it almost sounds like an addiction or something negative, but that's just the way it's worked for me.
Yeah.
Can't stay away from it for very long.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So what is kind of like your writing routine like? Like, what does that look like on a daily basis? Do you spend like so many hours writing, or when the inspiration hits, or what does that look like?
Well, for the first time in my life, I'm trying to make it a conscious habit. And I actually read a book about that talked a little bit about habits and how it's really, it takes some habits way longer than 21 days to establish. Mm-hmm. So as of, I think it was February 28th this year, I am every day. I already had a morning habit of writing one page in a journal on the computer. This is based on Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way morning pages, if you're familiar with those. I mean, I've never handwritten them because I'm too lazy. I'd rather type them. But I thought, okay, that's one good writing habit. Why don't I just start, add a second one right after that? So since February 28th, what I've been doing is either writing 250 words, you know, that's easy to do if I am either writing something new or revising something and adding new content, or work on it for 30 minutes. So it's either 250 words or 30 minutes. So just baby goals. I'm just using absolutely baby goals. And that's how I'm trying to establish a good, reliable writing practice for myself.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, I've read some of her stuff and it's just making time for it and sitting down to do it, like with anything else. And so that's awesome that you're doing that. Do you use a tracker or anything to help keep you motivated, or just kind of do it?
No, I work on the same thing every day moving forward. So ever since, so for example, the last few weeks, ever since the agent offered me representation, I have been working on a new novel idea because she wanted me to have something else in my back pocket, so to speak, that was somewhat similar, not similar, but also about an animal, like my first book. So I've been playing with a new idea and working through a blueprint. It's called Blueprint for a Book. It's basically a very structured way to develop a plan for a novel and think through things. So I've been working through that in my morning routine for the last 4 months or 4 weeks. Before that, I was working on revising a different novel, an adult novel. So
that's awesome. And I appreciate that you like that part of the writing process, is revising, because I don't like that part. I'd rather just get it all out and somebody fix it for me, kind of thing. So it's nice to know there's people out there that can support other people, you know, that maybe have some other strengths. When you get in creative ruts, how do you help yourself get out of those?
I live in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, and I'm in the country, and my backyard backs onto about 1,000 or more acres of public land that has a groomed cross-country ski trail on it that allows dogs. Nice. So this time of year, where the snow is almost gone, it's also a great place just to walk with the dog. So walking in the woods every day really helps me think through, even if it's not conscious, sometimes it's more subconscious, but I think through plot problems or character problems or title ideas or whatever. But I also read a lot. I can take a break and read something that's really different. And I don't have a lot of opportunities in this rural part of the state, but I do like to look at other kinds of art too, especially visual art. Mm-hmm. If I have the chance, go see a play, things like that. There's some other arts.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that too. Moving your body and just exposing yourself to new sights and sounds and stuff like that usually helps.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So when you are coaching people, like, what have you seen are the biggest challenges for most writers?
So far, what I'm seeing, because I've only been coaching for a few months, is that writers are not recognizing all the good that they're doing. The good writing that they're doing, they can't see that it's good. It's because it is really hard to evaluate your own stuff. I mean, I think most of us probably live somewhere in between this is awesome and this sucks. Mm-hmm. I personally tend to live on the this awesome side of the world most of the time. But so helping them see what's working, especially if they're trying something totally new. I have a client who is writing a historical middle grade novel, and she had been told by an agent that the story and the plot were really compelling, but there was too much narrative distance. It was a third person voice. And as a reader, she couldn't really feel the emotions of the girl and how she was reacting to something fairly dramatic that was going on. And so I was helping this writer change from third person to first and really get more immediate and inside that girl's head and let the reader feel everything she was feeling it as she was feeling it, not reporting it like from years later.
Don't you find that just as being human, sometimes we do see our faults more than anything? So I think that kind of moves into our art as well and what we're creating and stuff. So I think that's one of the benefits of working with a coach or somebody else, like a mentor, because they can see what's, you know, good and what's well, and then build off of that. So,
I
think, yeah,
because we all want to use our strengths, right? I mean, certainly you have to be able to do everything in a novel. You have to be able to write a decent character and some good dialogue and have a fun plot. But everybody has their own strengths, and then you can just help support them through the things that maybe they aren't as good at.
Yeah. What do you think? I've heard this a few times, like everybody has a story in them or a book in them. What do you think about that?
I think that anybody who wants to learn to write can learn to write. One book isn't necessarily going to make a career though. But if you've got one book and you just want to share it with your family, that's still totally worth doing.
There's
so many options these days for that. If you want to make a career as a published writer, though, you definitely need more than one book.
What does that landscape look like these days to, like, can you hit it out of the park on your first book? Or, I mean, what variables go into making a living as a writer?
Especially for children's writers, I don't think there are probably that many people who are able to make a living at just writing. Many of the children's writers I know are also teachers, whether it's in like MFA programs or they're, you know, grade school, middle school, high school teachers, regular college teachers, or doing school visits and speaking at events, that kind of thing, or book coaches, or, you know, editors. There are probably not too many. I'm just thinking of Kate DiCamillo is an example of a writer who probably is able to make a living off her books because she's probably got a dozen novels. She's had movies made of her books. I think her first one was because of Winn-Dixie, and I think it got a Newbery Medal. So if you are able to earn a major award like the Newbery right off the bat, and then that's going to be picked up by virtually every library in the United States, that's going to help your sales immensely and then make the publisher want to keep publishing you. There are so many challenges when it comes to making it a career. I don't think most people can realistically say, I'm only going to write. But if you have the passion for it and the drive and the persistence to keep working at it, you know, you can certainly infuse your life with writing and books, even if you can't make your total living at it.
And I think that's a good thing to remember, because I do think anything's possible, but it's also like there is also like transition phases of working your day job or whatever your job is, and then as you build something else in, you know, for that transition. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I've heard a lot of like, no, just go all in and stuff like that. And I'm just like, but you still have to be responsible and know where your money's coming to pay the bills and stuff like that. And so, you know, part of what I'd like to get across to people is how to navigate this transition phase of, yeah, most likely you're going to have to work your 9 to 5, and that takes a lot of time and energy. But then how also can you take care of yourself to add in those extra hours to create and to market, to publish, to like do all these other creative things while you're in that transition? So right. Do you have any things that you can recommend to somebody during the transition phases?
Well, I think one thing that I've learned from all the reading I've done in my own sort of early practice of it is to prioritize your own creative work. And that's why I decided to tack on that 30-minute time slot mm-hmm. in the morning, because I'm a dedicated morning page writer. And so just making it right after that, make sure that I get it done every single day. Because when I would just say, oh, I'm going to do it tonight, you know, like after we're done watching a little bit of TV, but then 8 o'clock rolls around and, you know, 8:30 and my eyes are closing because I'm tired from a day of working all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So prioritizing, I think, is, even if it's just a little bit, even if it's 15 minutes, all those little bits add up.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I think that is good advice, because it's right. Scheduling our time well, so that we are prioritizing not only our creative thing, but also the self-care that's needed during this process so that we can go the long haul. I'm not a big fan of hustle culture. I think we can work hard and use our time wisely, but at what cost? I just don't want anybody to, you know, burn out, because it is a long road, I think, to continually create and kind of have those ebbs and flows and more creative seasons and seasons of silence and rest to recharge and get those juices going again and stuff. So being patient through all those different seasons, I think, are important.
Yeah, that's a great thing to point out. Work smarter, not harder. That's how I try to work, because I'm not really a very hard worker.
I think I am, but I'm also like, I don't want to do it 24/7 either. Right. So I like my downtime. So I like that work.
I like reading too much to want to compromise.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of books do you enjoy reading? Do you read everything to kind of get a variety, or do you have some favorites?
I love middle grade novels. So books aimed at like 8 to 12 year olds. And since that's sort of my sweet spot for book coaching and writing, that fits really well. I've been reading a wider variety of those books, though, than is my normal, just to get a feel for more things. These days, the market of middle grade novels is getting more diverse points of view, which is really, really great. So I'm trying to read more diverse points of view, get a feel for that. My go-to read ever since childhood, and I stumbled on Nancy Drew, is mysteries.
Nice. Yeah.
So lately I've been reading Louise Penny's Armand Gamache mysteries. She's a Canadian writer, and she has this sort of gently humorous tone throughout. They're quite quiet mysteries. And when I was younger and sort of tried one in the middle of the series, I'm like, this guy is just so dry. Why do these novels get so much attention? I couldn't figure it out. But then I tried again just recently, like, oh, now I get it. I think some novels are just, they hit us at the right time in our lives and make sense. And because of the book coaching work and the way I've been analyzing books differently in the last year or so, I can see why her novels are so effective. And so they've been really fun to read, but I love mystery series.
Those are fun. Yeah. I used to be such like, I remember middle school, high school, going to the library, checking out all the books. And so I do enjoy reading, and I think it's changed throughout the years. I've thought about getting into different genres just to kind of see what that kind of looks like. And, you know, you never know, right? Just pick something up and see. So that's good to expand it. So when you go out to plan a book, So you have this new book that your literary agent is encouraging you to create. You said you had a blueprint kind of thing. What does that kind of look like for somebody that, you know, might have an idea, but it's like, I don't even know where to start to get my ideas down. Like sometimes right. I see sticky notes, you know, with maybe headings or something like that, but is there a more streamlined way to kind of start that process of bringing your thoughts kind of all in one place?
Yeah, there is. There is actually a book called Blueprint for a Book by Jenny Nash. And Jenny is the founder of Author Accelerator. So she just published this book last fall. But before she published that book, she had this long Word document. I think it's about 47 pages that she provided through the fiction book coaching class that I took, the self-paced course. So I just used that document, and it's got like 17 steps in it and examples and links and explanations. And it walks you through basically thinking about the very core idea all the way through a 3-page outline of your plot.
Nice.
So I've been using that on this new idea for the first time, using it on a new idea. I've used it on two other books in terms of revision last year. And so it's useful for both, starting mm-hmm. from scratch and rethinking an existing manuscript.
Okay, that's awesome. Kind of having some guidelines to help get it all, because yeah, I feel like as creatives, like there's so many ways something could go. And so honing yes. it in and being very mindful of what you're putting where would be helpful.
Yeah. And there are so many ways to revise a novel too. I mean, there are lots of different books and resources, and lots of them are super useful. This one has been useful for me because it is so short in comparison. And streamline. Yeah. And it's, so it's not overwhelming. It's not 300 pages of a book saying you have to do this, 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 and all these things. Like, just yeah. start here.
Yeah.
Do these things.
I love that. I'm like, yeah. keep it simple, not overwhelming, so that you keep it going and have the energy.
And exactly. So, keep momentum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. That's great. When you work with clients, like, do you find that, yes, you're looking at their work and, you know, taking a keen eye to it and giving them feedback, but do you also find that you have to be a cheerleader or kind of work on some hidden things that they weren't quite aware of, you know, just in their personal life that can affect their writing?
Yes, absolutely. I often ask during the initial call with a client, you know, sort of what they think their obstacles are. And then it's interesting to see and hear how they talk about what they think the problem is, and then see what I see when I actually get to their manuscript or their blueprint, because I have them work on a blueprint also at the beginning mm-hmm. of their work. And I want to be kind but honest in all of my feedback. I never want to make anybody feel bad, but I do want them to know what I honestly see. I have not had to do this yet, knock on wood, but if I see a book that I don't think has any chance of ever working, I would have to tell the client that. And that I think would be super hard. Fortunately, I haven't seen that yet. Everything that they're working on, even if they feel like, oh, I'm not sure what to do with this, I am really full of ideas. I just toss them out like candy and let them pick and choose whatever resonates with them. That's one way I try to be supportive, is to help them see that, yes, they really have something here. And I'm not just saying that. I'm pretty sure most of them understand that I don't say things I don't mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm not a particularly nice person in that way. I try to be kind, but I'm not fake.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna call it like I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure that's very helpful, even if it is hard at the moment, you know, it's going to be beneficial in the long run. So that's helpful. Right. Yeah. That's cool. I have a question, just like technical things, like, I've used Readsy. Is that .com before? It's kind of like where you type in your book and it kind of formats it to look like a book page. So I found that helpful. Do you have any like programs or anything that you like to use to write in?
I'm just a basic user of Word.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't do anything fancy like that. I guess I don't need to see things look like they might look on a book page, probably because I've been in some kind of publishing related business for so long, not book publishing, but you know, magazines mm-hmm. and other kinds of things. So yeah. So I don't need to do that. Yeah. People are using Google Docs more and more. Mm-hmm. So learning how to use Google Drive and all those tools has been helpful. I probably prefer Word just because I'm used to it and using those reviewing tools and the comments functions and that kind of thing. But, yeah. And that's what I use with my book coaching clients is, but I also, we share documents through Google Docs. So I'm using both.
Yeah. I love all those new things that kind of help connect us from afar and can share it and see it and work on it together. So that's great.
Right. And yeah. Zoom. I mean, it's right? a great tool for meeting people when they live, you know, thousands of miles away. One of my book coaching clients is in Australia.
Oh, awesome. 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 Yeah. Well, even that we can talk, I'm in Bangkok, Thailand, and you're in Wisconsin. And so it's just makes it work.
Yeah. So. I didn't know where you were. I thought, wow, these are really early time slots. I wonder where she is.
Yeah. Makes it kind of tricky, but it works. So that's awesome. Well, and then you can take a world tour, right? And go visit all your clients and
right.
it could be fun. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, as we close out, is there anything that you'd like to, you know, kind of share with people that want to get into the writing habit more? You know, you did share just getting in the habit of morning pages, but is there any other like maybe mindset shifts or reframing that you think could be beneficial for them as they start on this journey, either again or a new journey?
Mm-hmm. Anne Lamott's advice about being willing to write a shitty first draft.
Yeah. You know,
don't judge yourself every day. Just sit down and produce the work, because probably if you go back and read it, you won't be able to tell the happy days and the inspired days from the this is horrible, why am I doing this days.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep showing up.
Yeah, that's awesome advice. Yeah, because that's where it's at, right? Can't edit anything if we don't have words on the page. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, either through coaching or just connecting with you any which way, where can they find you?
My website is michellereginald.com. It's michellereginold. And there's a contact page there, and I'll get an email through that, or they can also schedule a session if they want to.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much. This was really eye-opening for somebody that does want to write but has never thought of themselves as a writer. Just those helpful tips of just write. I'm going to take that to heart and try to incorporate that into most of my days so that I can have something to edit. So thank you so much for your time and all the good information that you shared with us.
Well, thank you. This was fun.
Thanks. If you found this episode to be helpful, please feel free to share it. And if you'd like to leave a rating and a review, I'd appreciate that. If you'd like to connect, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Creative Purpose. If you have any specific questions you'd like me to talk on, you can leave them in my DMs.